Hugh Yeager is with us. Hugh is from the Thames Valley branch of Rail Future. Morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Phil.
Two accidents in less than a year, one of those fatal.
Yes.
Is this crossing safe?
And there was a third incident back in 2011 when a pedestrian was knocked down by a train and killed. Sandy Lane is going against the national trend. The national trend is that Network Rail is getting collisions down and casualties very much down at level crossings. But at Sandy Lane, we've had, well, certainly a blip of three very serious incidents in the last 2 years.
There's a half barrier on this crossing. Do those are greater risks associated with these half barriers?
They are. Network Rail is succeeding in getting collisions down even at half barrier crossings, but they do have a reputation. And I'm not imputing anything against people who've been injured at Sandy Lane at any time, but there is a temptation for some road users to take unwise risks dodging round the half barriers when they have come down because they can't yet see a train coming.
You're the expert. I'm just a bloke. I look at the idea of a half barrier, just a barrier over one half of the road, and you think, well, could they not spring for a full barrier? It just seems a ridiculous idea.
It would cost more, but not that much. And the only obstacle is that Network Rail has 450 half barrier crossings around the country, and their job is to decide which ones are the highest risk and which ones to give priority to convert to full barriers. They have a risk assessment method, and Sandy Lane scores as one of the more risky crossings in the country. They've got two scales of measuring risk, and each has sort of 13 steps in it. And for risks to road users, Sandy Lane is in the fourth highest level. And for risks in general, including to people on trains, it's in the second highest level. So it ought to be a priority to be considered for full barriers.
Is that your feeling? Should it be a full barrier crossing?
Rail Future would support two things. One, reassess the crossing and decide, think very seriously about adding full barriers at Sandy Lane. But secondly, the Rail Safety and Standards Board has recommended that Network Rail should give its risk assessment method a health check, because the Rail Safety Standards Board thinks that the assessment doesn't always pick up and correctly measure all the risks at some crossings. And also there's an implication that sometimes Network Rail staff doing the assessments make mistakes which are not double checked and spotted, and sometimes staff are being sent to do these risk assessments who may not be very fully trained on carrying out this very specialist risk assessment properly.
I mean, at this rate we'll just have a whip round and get it sorted. You said that Sandy Lane is going against a national downward trend for accidents.
Yes.
Do you, I don't know if you know the Sandy Lane crossing, but
I do.
So can you speculate as to why that might be?
There is...
What makes Sandy Lane more...
Again, I'm not picking on anyone who's been hurt at Sandy Lane, but on the Yarnton and Begbrook side, there is a very sharp corner right against the crossing. You come from that side coming towards Kidlington, and it's more than a right angle. It's about a 100-degree turn right before you reach the crossing. Now, I'm sure that all the signals and the alarm noise are set up so that you get advance warning before you come round the corner, but it's not an ideal arrangement. Another thing that Network Rail has pointed out is that coming from some directions at some times of the day, car drivers have the sun right in their eyes, and the glare makes it more difficult to see the flashing lights, possibly, in some situations.
As ever, thank you so much for joining us, Hugh Yeager.
Thank you.
Hugh Yeager from Rail Futures.